Greetings. Welcome. This is Mark Little, and I'm welcoming you to the Advisor Pact monthly session for this month. The Advisor Pact program is all about making a pledge to each and every one of your ideal clients. And it turns out there are four things that are client expectations. These are not just things that clients are wishing for. These are the things, these end up being the four things that the most affluent and the most successful clients claim that they cannot find anywhere at any price. And that's someone whose job it is, or who will take it on as their role to help protect them, pay attention to their situation, coordinate all aspects of their financial affairs with full transparency. And so we go through each of these in great detail. As a matter of fact, the idea of mastering this program is that you develop the mastery and skill of each of these areas. Like, what does it mean to protect a client financially? What does it mean to pay attention? And what do they actually expect? What does it mean, or what does a client expect when they think in terms of coordination? And what does it mean as far as full transparency? So that's the program. The goal of the program is to deliver truly comprehensive financial services, but not just in any way, in a way that actually exceeds your ideal client's expectations. Now, as it turns out, this takes quite a bit of practice. And as a matter of fact, for most financial advisors, it takes between 8 and 16 months. We have our flagship program, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. That's the program that we launched. I had been in the business for 20 years at that time, but we launched the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which is software and coaching combined. And we launched that program back in 2009. Matter of fact, we just had our 8th birthday. But I can tell you with authority that from that program, because we work very closely with those advisors, it takes between 8 and 16 months to master this goal. And then after you've mastered it, it takes up to 3 years to build your entire ideal client community. So this is quite a journey that you've set out on. Now, in our flagship program, we give you everything. We've built out all the software. We coach, those advisors right through the program. But almost from the beginning, we had advisors who asked us, hey, if I don't want to pay $1,000 a month for the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, is there anything else you can provide us to kind of show us how to do this? And so we did. We built this program, the Advisor Pact Monthly Program, for advisors you have a couple of types of different people. You have the type of person who says, "Hey, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. If it's already been invented, if it's already been done for me, then just let me have it." And that's the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. But we realized and we recognized early on there's a whole nother type of person out there, and they don't really view it as reinventing the wheel. They would rather build it from the ground up themselves and just have their own mark on it. And so that's what this program is. We take you right through how we built the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. If you ask a question, as someone did today, and it requires us pulling back the curtains and giving you a peek into the toolkit and show you how we do it over there, we will. Because the objective over here is to show you whatever you need to see to do exactly what we've done in building the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which, this is the goal: deliver truly comprehensive financial services, but to do it in a way that exceeds ideal client expectations. Now, the steps in the program, and this is in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit or in this program, these are the steps. We show you how to build and lead a team, how to establish comprehensive deliverables checkpoints, in other words, deliverables for your clients. What do you actually do for them? How to structure your compensation so that once you've got this in place, it recognizes the reality that for the client, at least, there's not a lot of choices out there. So you need to make sure you've structured your compensation properly so that you're adequately compensated for this. And then you know, we focus on mastering this whole idea of determining, you know, what type of experience is it going to require to over deliver on the client and exceed their expectations. So these are the five steps. We go through the same five steps in this program as we do in the toolkit. It's just in this program you do it yourself. You're gonna go at your own pace, and you're gonna build it your own way. And we're gonna answer whatever questions you have. So what's the outcome of all this? Let's say you get all those five things done and in place. What can you expect, or what can your business? What will be the result in your business? Well, we on the toolkit side, we have a guaranteed outcome, and we recommend you keep going with this program. Keep continually improving and seeking mastery until you have a minimum of five initial client interviews per week. That's meetings with new potential clients that are resulting from spontaneous unsolicited client referrals. So as it turns out, the whole program is about exceeding client expectations, and it turns out that the best and most direct way to measure whether you are impressing your clients or exceeding their expectations is the number of referrals that they provide to you. So there's a direct connection, and the best connection between whether you're exceeding your clients' expectations or not is the number of referrals that they provide you. So the whole program is about increasing your unsolicited client referrals. And these are the first 12 modules. So every month you'll get we call it the monthly project. So you'll get a project or a module from us at least one a month. And as you implement these projects, we've been doing this a long time. We know that you're going to have questions. So this session each month is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to weigh in with questions, ask your questions, and to get live coaching. So we will go through the questions that have been submitted. I hand-selected of the questions that we received over the last 30 days. I hand-picked a few that I think will have the most benefit for the most numbers of advisors in this program. So I'm going to cover those today. But listen, don't if you didn't have a chance to submit your question before we went live today, don't let that stop you. Examine your webinar panel, and you'll find that there's an area to raise your hand. After I go, so if you've got a question or you want some live coaching, you know, today's your day. This is your chance to get that coaching. And so just look over your webinar panel during the webinar. Look for the Q&A section. You can type in your question or just say, I've got a question. And then if you type in your question, I'll answer it. If you just tell me I've got a question, then I'll unmute you and we'll do a little back and forth. We'll do some live coaching and we'll go through whatever issues you've got. And I just want to point out before we get into the last thing I want to say before we get into the issues, it does not have to be something with the program. So we've had a lot of new members join this program in the last 30 days. So I want to just tell you that this session each month is for you to get the coaching and feedback. It's a Q&A session for you to get the help you need. So if it's related to our program, great. Ask the question. If you've got some other issue that you're dealing with, it could be a client issue. It could be a staffing issue. It could be anything having to do with building a financial advisory business. This is the place to bring your question. So I encourage you to do that. And each and every month, come prepared. Come prepared with your questions. So with that, let's get right to it. So I want to show you up front. I'll just kind of give you a preview of the questions that we're going to be dealing with today. And then as you have a chance to look at these, then I'll go through these one at a time. All right. So the first question is, it's taking us longer than 60 days to fill our first subject matter expert position. What will speed up the process? Okay, so let me give you a little background on this. if you're new to the program and you're not sure what this is referring to, it's a module that you will be receiving. It's one of the monthly projects, and it's called the 12-Step Deliverables Team Recruitment Process. This is the process that we've created to fill all your subject matter expert vacancies one at a time. So we have, once you get to that module, you'll see that we have a suggested order of attack in terms of the sequence in which you fill these positions for your team. And we go through all the details of it. A lot of advisors are worried, especially early on in the process, you know, what's this going to cost me? I don't have a budget for salary for new team members and all that sort of thing. We deal with all that in this module. it's designed to... You can. We're agnostic on whether you hire members onto your team as in salaried employees or whether you go out and contract with these people. But I can tell you by far the vast majority of advisors in this program start out with contracting. And this is just kind of operates under the theory or the premise that, which is true, by the way, that there are plenty of subject matter experts out there. Now, the five subject matter expert roles that we are filling, and this, by the way, is a peek at the module. When you get this project, this is what it'll look like. But the five team members, the five roles are tax, money management, financial planning. We call it legal, but it's primarily estate planning, and insurance. So it's to find somebody who's responsible in each of these five areas. So you have five subject matter expert positions to fill. And the way we teach you is if you've got a budget, great, then you get to decide whether you want to put, you know, hire these people on salary right at the beginning or whether you want to contract with people out in the community. And trust me, there are lots of expert accountants, expert money managers, highly skilled financial planners, talented estate planning lawyers, and skilled insurance professionals that can head up each of these five areas. So there are tons of professionals out there, and most advisors start out by contracting. And if you have no budget, don't worry about it. The way we teach the recruitment process for these team members is to put it out there that, hey, we're trying to build a community of ideal clients. And so as we add ideal clients, are you, you know, able and willing to join our team and contribute to the effort that we are doing is together to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. And if so, you only pay the team member if you contract with them as you add the client. So it's the client that's paying for the team member. You don't have to have any budget to do it this way. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, this process is split out into, there's 12 steps, but there's three kind of phases to this deliverables team recruitment process. And by the way, we've perfected this over the last 30 years, and you will fill every single vacancy in less than 60 days. I say less than 60 days because some of you already know really skilled, you know, maybe one or two of these. So maybe you know a skilled accountant that you already like to work with, and you already know, let's say, hypothetically, an estate planning lawyer that you like to work with. It doesn't really matter. Some of these you can shortcut. Even if you know them, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a good fit for the team. So you still have to go through the 12-step process. But if you know them and they end up being a good fit and you don't have to go through a ton of candidates to find the right person, then it might take 30 days. But it seldom, if ever, it almost never takes over 60 days. And the three sections of this 12-step program are, this first one is to identify candidates. Then the second few steps are to meet with the candidate to determine if they're highly skilled, if they're actually the real deal, and you like them and you want to work with them. And and it seems like they have the ability to exceed client expectations. So you do all that vetting and meeting with them, the candidates, and then you focus on a finalist, and the last few stages have to do with just absolutely making sure that the finalist is a good fit and that they're both able and willing to do everything that's expected of them within truly comprehensive financial services. Now, the issue that we're dealing here with here is this person, this advisor that sent in the question, say, hey, it's taking me for, and I didn't give you the whole question because it's kind of irrelevant which role they're filling, but in this case, they're trying to find a financial planning subject matter expert. But the question that was submitted was, hey, it's taking us longer than 60 days. Do you have any advice? And yes, I do. There is one of these 12 steps that will energize the process. There's one step that's more important than the others. And for this, I'm going to hop over and I'm going to show you a video that we have over on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. And don't worry, I'm going to put it in the replay page for this session. So if you want to watch the replay of this, or if you're watching it on the replay just after you've seen this webinar, it's a 3-minute video where we show members over on the toolkit which of these 12 steps is the key step that will make sure that you will complete this project of filling any of these vacancies in less than 60 days. So let me go ahead and play that for you. Okay, so that's the key. The key is step 6, scheduling the initial discovery meeting. Now, you noticed something in that video that was for the, we have that for the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. And one thing that's different in the toolkit than in the Advisor Pack monthly program is we know for sure in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit that each and every advisor has a skilled and very strong administrative manager. In other words, an administrative support person. How do we know that? Because we don't allow anybody into the Toolkit program unless they have a strong administrative manager. So that may be the difference for you. Now, if you have an administrative manager working for you, then that's the division of labor. Once you get this project, or if you've already gone through this project, the division of labor that we teach over in the Toolkit is get the administrative manager identifying candidates. And believe it or not, it is very easy to identify candidates. And you might be sitting there thinking, hogwash, I know for a fact there's not 100 or 200 candidates in my little town that I live in. Well, that may be true, but one thing that you'll learn is in our program is don't be so fussy. You know, if you'd rather have a local person, fine, then focus on local people, but don't be so restrictive that you're not going to look at a virtual team member. So if you have to go 100 miles away or 200 miles away or 1,000 miles away to find the most skilled person, you know, in the end, you're going to find out what I found out building my team. What does it matter? What does it matter where they are if I have somebody that's, you know, truly skilled and has the ability and has shown and demonstrated their ability to exceed client expectations? So you can start local, but just keep expanding the search if you have to. The point is, stay on the phone scheduling initial discovery meetings, which is the key to the whole recruitment process. It's keeping you as the advisor on the phone calling candidates. It's not a full-time job. We tell in this project that when you get into it and you start reading the instructions, you need to block 2 or 3 hours a week to stay on the phone calling candidates to see if you even want to meet with them. And you need to schedule another 2 or 3 hours a week actually meeting with candidates. In other words, conducting the initial discovery meeting. So, you know, that's 4 to 6 hours a week. Okay, so maybe one day a week. If you're willing to devote 4 to 6 hours a week to this project, then the way we recommend you split the division of labor is let your administrative manager identify the candidates in this program project. We show the ways to go out and find candidates, and it ends up not being that difficult to find candidates. And then you as the advisor just focus on interacting with the candidates once they're identified. Just call them up, see if they seem impressive enough to you to want to even talk to. If so, you'll have an initial discovery meeting and you'll just go right through the process. It's a very efficient process. It will almost always identify and fill a vacancy for you in less than 60 days. That's if you focus on this step 6. And if 2 to 3 hours a week, you're on the phone every week contacting subject matter experts just to screen them and see if you like them and see if you think they're skilled enough. And if so, then you'll meet with them. But this step 6 is the key. If you do this 2 to 3 hours a week, then you will almost always fill every vacancy, each of these 5 positions, within 60 days or less. Okay, this question. We are calculating the annual referral rate every month, and we're beginning to see an increase in unsolicited referrals. Yay, that's the whole goal of the program. And by the way, those of you that are new to the program, it's not uncommon for new members to think, how do you control that? How do you get control or drive or inspire clients to provide or introduce you to new potential clients on an unsolicited basis? In other words, to do it behind your back when you're not around, when they're just interacting with people, you know, in their lives, you know, what can an advisor do to impact or increase that, the likelihood of that receiving unsolicited referrals? Well, that's the whole point of the program. You can and you will get control of that. And that's what this whole program is all about. And it's all about exceeding expectations of clients. And I'll tell you this, most financial advisors don't even set it as a goal to exceed client expectations. They don't know how. They haven't really thought about it. They're not sure exactly. Most advisors are unable and unwilling to do what's required to exceed a client's expectations on a consistent basis. So that right there is the key. But okay, so we're seeing an increase, but what are some of the other ratios that will help us measure whether we're impressing our ideal clients or not? Okay, so this is an advisor who's, you know, obviously excited for good reason, because starting to see, you know, the phone starting ringing, and it's with referrals without having to even ask for them. So for those of you that are new to the program and you're not even sure what we're talking about here in terms of the annual referral rate is, and you'll get a project on this. It's going to come very quickly. This is one of the key measures of the program, but you can start tomorrow. You could start today tracking your annual referral rate. It is such a simple calculation. All you do is count up the number of referrals that you've received from the clients that you call ideal. So you've got ideal clients, you've got clients, and then you've got a certain number of clients that you call ideal. Now we're gonna turn that term ideal client into more of a science. That's one of the monthly projects, is how do you actually refine that term ideal client. But for now, just think of it. Don't overthink it. Just think, okay, so you've got clients, and then among your clients, you've got certain clients that you consider ideal clients. These are the clients that you'd really love to replicate. And then, so just go back and count how many referrals have you received from those, from that community of clients over the last 12 months, divided by the total number of ideal clients. So it's just a simple formula. You calculate it out to 3 decimal points, so that even if you have not received a large number of referrals in the last 12 months, you'll always have an annual referral rate as long as you've had one client provide one referral over the last 12 months, then you'll have an annual referral rate, because we calculate the number out to 3 decimal points. And then we instruct you to track the number like a stock or like an investment, charted over time, because it's the trend that's really more important than anything. When you first start calculating this, it's not good or bad. It just is. It is your annual referral rate. It's the reality of your current situation. This is the number of referrals that you seem to be getting over a 12-month period from these clients that you call ideal. And so now you're going to calculate it every month, at least once a month, and then it's the trend of that number over time. So I think you'd agree that an increasing annual referral rate is marvelous. This is what you want. You want more referrals as time goes on. Now, the question is, okay, so, and we're not really specifying what kind of referral. We're not, you know, we'll take any kind of referral. We're happy with any kind of referral. So we're happy with referrals if they're unsolicited, but we're also happy if we're in a meeting with a client and we ask for referrals. We have a referral conversation, call them solicited referrals. So we ask for referrals and they gave them. We'll take referrals however they come. So we're not specifying or filtering what kind of referral. We're just saying total number of referrals from ideal clients over the last 12 months, divided by the number of ideal clients. So the answer to your question is, over time, you're going to build this. This is your annual referral rate dashboard. So you're right to understand that you're going to be really building this out over time. And there are lots of ratios that you're going to be tracking around this thing that we call the annual referral rate. That is, and your instincts are perfect, just going to be the basis for our tracking of this. And what we're actually tracking, as I keep saying over and over, this annual referral rate is the best and most direct measure of whether or not you're exceeding your client's expectations or not. And it's a real, if you think about it, it's a very simple premise. Clients who are impressed will refer They'll mention you and talk about you to others in their life. And clients who are not impressed don't bother. And so you track the annual referral rate. It's just a number. And as I said before, if you're not already, because you did not mention in your question whether you're doing this or not, make sure you're tracking it, you know, over time. So this, not only just having the number and seeing it go up for, you know, month over month, you know, that's great, but make sure you're graphing it over time so that you and the others on your team can see the trend of the annual referral rate. All right, so your question is, what are some of these other ratios? I'm just going to give you two for now, because if you've started tracking the annual referral rate and you're tracking the monthly trend over time, so you've got those two knocked out, you're already doing that, then the two next things you need to track are these. You need to start tracking what we call the participation rate. Okay, so what is the participation rate? This is the percentage of clients who have provided at least one referral over the last 12 months. So in this hypothetical, 87% of clients provided at least one referral over the last 12 months. Now, the goal is 95, you know, more than 95%. So we recommend you also show the clients who are not referring. So you want that percentage to go down, and you want the percentage of clients referring going up. Now, start tracking this participation rate on a monthly basis, and don't put any emotion behind it. Just start tracking it. As you'll find out in this program over time, every one of these ratios has a different strategy and a different set of action items that drive it. And so this becomes just, and it always ends up being a project, just individual client by individual client. You have to think client by client, one at a time. You think of each client, like, what's it going, like, how is this particular client driving this ratio? So in this case, what you're really focusing on is clients who aren't referring. And it's a whole project where, and we're not going to get into it here, but basically you're just going to be thinking about each client, and you're going to start having conversations with them to establish in your own mind whether the fact that they're not referring is meaningful or not. We know going in that not every client gives referrals. Excuse me. And we know also that, not every client gives, you know, lots of referrals every year. So, but the question is, let's say you have a client that has not provided even one referral over the last 12 months. In this advisor's case, it's 13% of the clients, but it could be these numbers often are reversed when the first time you calculate it. So you may have 87% of your clients who have not provided one referral in the last 12 months. That's actually more common at the beginning, the first time you track this. And so then the question is, for the client, percentage of clients that have not introduced you to a single potential client, is that meaningful? Are they happy? All we know is this: clients who do refer you are happy with you. They're impressed. Otherwise, they wouldn't take the risk. They would not be mentioning you to others in their life. They would not, you know, recommend you to anyone if they weren't impressed. So that's the whole point of our program, is to increase the percentage of clients who are referring, because, you know, we're not 100% sure about clients who don't refer, but we do know clients who do refer, and getting referrals is normal, and not getting referrals is abnormal. I'll just leave it there for now. So start tracking the participation rate. Just start tracking it. We'll deal later with how to drive that number. And then the second thing I'd like you to start tracking is what we call the solicited versus unsolicited. So basically track the percentage of referrals over the last 12 months that came in as a result of you asking a client for referrals. That's solicited. versus referrals that just came in between client progress meetings out of the blue. Either the client called you up and said, hey, I've got a referral for you, or the individual themselves called into the office out of the blue and said, hey, so-and-so suggested I give you a call, and I'm giving you a call. And so those are unsolicited referrals. And frankly, we don't make a big deal out of it up front. We're just happy with any referral up front at the beginning. But over time, the goal is 100%. I mean, that is the goal of this program, that you're exceeding your client's expectations sufficiently that you really don't need to do anything else. You're getting plenty of referrals, enough to drive 5 initial client interviews per week. Directly from referrals. So those are the two things that I'd like you to start tracking, since you're already tracking and seeing success with the annual referral rate. Start tracking these two ratios right away. Next question. I heard you mention once that you met for lunch with ideal clients in between client progress meetings to better understand their expectations. How did that work? All right, so that is true. If you're brand new to the program and you're just have no idea what we're talking about here, and I'm not even sure where you heard this, it sounds more like something I did with Bill Bachrach or maybe Rick Barrera or maybe a live event. This is not something that we typically teach, although I have taught it over in the toolkit. There's been a lot of interest about this, what we call the lunch program, over in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So I'm going to share you with you something that we've covered over there about this. But just to give you a little background, if you're brand new to the program, we do have what will ultimately be a very systematic, kind of a structured meeting process with your ideal clients. That is to say, the number of meetings that you will have with your clients each year are 3. I should say a minimum of 3. So usually 3 are plenty for the client, but obviously for an ideal client, if they need to meet with you more, your life is theirs. So you exist to serve your ideal clients, and so obviously if they need to meet more often, then you're willing to do that. But I'm just telling you, because we've spent 30 years perfecting this, that it, you know, once you get into this process, we call it the 3-meeting process, the vast majority, and that is way over 90% of the clients, have no desire or need to meet with you other than 3 times a year. And that's what that ends up being is meeting every 4 months. So you're meeting with every ideal client every 4 months. That ends up being 3 times a year. And you'll get a monthly project on this pretty early on. It's the 3-meeting process. So back to the luncheons. So if you're meeting with a client every 4 months and you're having a formal client progress meeting every 4 months, when is this lunch that you do, and why do you do it, and what's the agenda? So the question that came in last May when this came up over on the toolkit, we had a webinar, and it came up as a question in the webinar, what is the agenda for this luncheon? If you're sitting down in the client progress meeting and you're measuring progress and, you know, exceeding client expectations, then what on earth are you having? What's the agenda over lunch? Well, So the question is, what's the agenda? That was the question over on the toolkit. So let me answer that first, because it's easy. You schedule lunch with each ideal client, or at least you offer lunch to each ideal client, and there's no agenda. That's the whole point. So you have this meeting every 4 months. It's a formal client progress meeting 3 times a year, and then we're going to work in these lunches. And they're going to be informal lunches. So let me tell you what's driving this. There were really 2 basic things, and I'll kind of tidy this up at the end. But when I started thinking about this, there was one thing that kind of drove me wanting to do this. But then there was another thing that ended up being the outcome of these luncheons, which ended up being very nice. And that's why I continued them. And so What drove this was I noticed that with my ideal clients, you know, these are successful, affluent people. They have lots going on in their lives. They have, you know, lots of cool things going on in their lives. And they like to share those things with you. The problem is when they come into the client progress meeting, I've got a 60-minute packed agenda of very high-priority conversations, things that are really necessary for them to remain on track to their goals and to make smart choices about their money and to be so proactive that, you know, nothing ever blows up and there's never any surprises. So I ended up having a very full agenda. But then when the client comes in, you know, they want to talk about the trip to Europe or the fishing trip or the recent, you know, if they're a sports fan, they want to talk about the football game or whatever, whatever. They have all these things that they want to talk about that are just, they want to get to know you better. That's what it boils down to. So I had these clients that wanted to kind of chat about other things than the agenda, and it just kind of pulled things off track. So I learned, and we teach in the toolkit, and we'll teach in the Advisor Pack monthly program, how to skillfully stay on track in a client progress meeting, but then you're kind of left with then how do you develop a deep relationship with those clients that want to know you better? And that's these informal luncheons. So you have no agenda, you schedule a lunch with clients, and the outcome was my objective was just to create a venue where we could talk about all these, you know, personal, whatever they want to talk about. I had no agenda. I let them set the agenda and talk about whatever they want to talk about. So that was the goal. But what ended up coming out of it was I started hearing the most amazing things in these informal venues. They would give me all kinds of clues about how to serve them better. Financial gaps that would just be talked about. They'd talk about something and I'd realize, wow, there's financial implications to that. I did not bring it up at the luncheon. I just made a note and followed up later. But mainly about the way they think. So the biggest payoff of these luncheons for me was if your goal is to exceed expectations, it was in these luncheons that I got the greatest number of clues about what their expectations are, what it is they expect. And they do it by just talking about their lives. They do it talking about, you know, if they went to another restaurant and they had bad service and they start talking about what they liked or didn't like about some service experience at a hotel or a restaurant or something like that. I start getting all these clues about, you know, what their standards are. What are the standards of this client? Because I know we've got to strive to exceed their standards in order to exceed their expectations. Well, anyway, meanwhile, back at this informal lunch process, how did it work? We covered it back in the toolkit in episode 191 of the weekly session over back in our flagship program. And let me just kind of show you off that video how this works. So you're meeting with clients every 4 months. That's 16 weeks. So every 16 weeks, you're meeting with a client for a client progress meeting. These are just the routine three meeting process client progress meetings. So you're meeting every 16 weeks. Where the luncheons go, and what I started doing was scheduling just informal, just calling up and saying, hey, I'd like to see if you're available for lunch. Are you available for lunch? Now, if they are, they are. If they aren't, then they aren't. And I didn't make a big deal out of it. I don't press them. There was a very small list of clients that would just, they're too busy. They don't want to do lunch with, you know, any regularity. So I didn't press it. But most clients liked it. And so they didn't really consciously realize this. And I certainly didn't tell them that I was doing this. But what I was doing was I was scheduling these luncheons 16 weeks apart, but almost exactly in the middle in between client progress meetings. So what it really meant was that since I was having client progress meetings every 16 weeks and then luncheons every 16 weeks, it was only 8 weeks going by that I didn't see them. for most clients. So I'm interacting with every client every 2 months instead of four. We're having formal client progress meetings every 4 months, and then this no agenda kind of informal luncheon. So every 2 months I'm interacting with the client. Now, this is not required. This is totally optional. But, you know, the payoff, as I said, is very large. It deepened the relationship very rapidly with the client doing it this way. And it allows the client to exhaust topics that would be distracting during a client progress meeting, gives them a venue to talk about that. But for me, it gave an opportunity to listen for these clues I'm talking about, issues relevant to their financial strategy, maybe risks that are facing them, things that they start talking about when their guard is down and they just start talking out loud about things that concern them. Or, you know, I certainly did not drive the conversation. I never made the luncheons about me, although they would ask about me, and of course I would respond. You know, I have a daughter, and they often ask questions about, you know, my family and things like that. So that's fine and dandy. But I didn't make me the agenda item. I never brought me up. I only brought me up if they asked about me. Otherwise, I let them drive the entire conversation. And they would talk about risks, but they would give me clues about what would exceed their expectations. Now, just because there's no agenda doesn't mean that you don't prepare. So I did prepare for these luncheons, but not heavily. I prepared in a quick review. You know, I looked at to see if there was any activity since the last progress meeting. So I'd go into our, you know, client relationship manager software program, look at the notes, see if there was any activity since the last meeting of anything that had happened pertaining to this client since the last client progress meeting. I read all interaction logs. This is another module that you'll get a monthly project from us. This is just nothing more than a format for making meeting notes. Whenever you talk to a client or you talk to another team member or your team, subject matter experts talk to each other, we require the interaction logs so that it's nothing more than just notes of the interaction so that the others on the team can see what everybody's talking about with each other. And so I read all of those since the last meeting. I read all the notes in our CRM, our client relationship manager. So if the client called in and they needed to reschedule three times because they're, you know, got business trips or whatever, I'm aware of that because I quickly read through the notes in the CRM before I go to lunch. I review the client prep packet from the last client progress meeting just to get up, kind of refresh my memory about their situation, especially the five critical reports. And if this term is unfamiliar with you, you'll come across it very quickly. We have a report for each of the five subject matter experts. So think of a critical report as, you know, what if there was one report in each of the major five major areas of every client's financial life: tax, money management, financial planning, insurance, and tax. So I review the five critical reports from the last meeting, the numbers history, which is just kind of it's a report. It's a proprietary report that we teach you how to create, but it tracks, you know, three key numbers in their financial life, but for every time they've ever met with you for a formal meeting. So it's their growth assets, their cash reserves, and their debt. Those are the three numbers. And the numbers history tracks the history of those three numbers at every meeting that you've ever had with them. The goal blueprint, this is whether they're on or off track to their goal. And then we have this thing called the MISC organizer, which again is another module. But these are the things that if you know what these things are, I would just prepare briefly before the luncheon, just see what's happened since the last meeting and refresh my memory about the client. So again, it's just a social luncheon, no planned business objective. It's all about them. So I ask about them. I certainly don't dominate with stories about me. If you're curious, what are some types of conversation openers? Like, not every client's an extrovert. So you may be, even though you're not talking about you, you may need to get the conversation going. And so I would open with questions like, so how are your kids doing? What are their lives all about? Or how did you all meet? There must be a story there. Or I've never asked you where you went to school. So where did you go to high school? Or what's your first memory of money? Like when you were a kid, did your family talk about money issues around the dinner table and things like that? Anyway, just personal. I kind of like financial, personal, like that last question, but it could be anything. Just get them going about things that are in their life and just see if you can get them talking. And that's it. That's the whole luncheon program. It's piece cake. It's just meeting with clients every 4 months for lunch. And then that means that you're meeting actually with every client every 4 months. Every other month, every 2 months, instead of every four for just a formal client progress meeting. All right. Final question of the day. We're about to hold our first initial progress update meeting. Now, this is one of the meetings in the three-meeting process. I'll show you where it fits in just a moment. But the question is, we're wondering if there's a recommendation for the presentation of all the documents. In other words, the documents that you prepare in the client prep packet for the client. Is there a recommended, like a folder or a file, etc. What do you recommend? Well, first, let me show you which meeting we're talking about. This is the three-meeting process. It's actually, it's the initial client interview, the implementation meeting. Then you have this meeting that they're talking about, the initial progress update meeting. But then the comprehensive safety review, the goal progress outlook, and the annual review. Now, notice these bottom three, it's kind of a cycle. It's every 4 months. So if you're new to this program, this is what we typically think of as the three-meeting process. It's the comprehensive safety review, the goal progress outlook, the annual review, and then these are the three meeting types every 4 months. And so, but this advisor's asking, so the initial progress update meeting, I've got all these reports that, you know, we've created because we, you know, in this Advisor Pack Monthly program, we've shown you all these various reports over time. We've taught you all these different reports that clients like. And so the question is, how do you present them to the client? Is it in a folder or, you know, or what? Actually, this is all you need to do. As a matter of fact, you know, we deal at our firm with multimillionaires. Every single client of ours is a highly affluent multimillionaire. And when we walk into client progress meetings, when I do, all the reports for the client are connected like this. Now, if you're really fancy and you don't like this look or the image of holding documents together in this manner, okay, you could get fancy, maybe something like this or something like this. But the bottom line is, what you don't want to do is something like this. Like, I have seen advisors who go nuts and they, you know, they have all these like when they come in the meeting, what they hand the client is in a book or some kind of an organizer, and they hand it to the client, and then you've got all the reports that you're going to go through in the meeting. Some of them quite, you know, organized, like with separators and things like that. Don't do it. This is superior. The reason being is, and we'll teach you this when we get to that. When you get to that module, you'll learn that we can tell you with authority that you do not want to give every report to the client. It's because then if you do, they think you're giving them an assignment. They think the only reason my advisor is giving me all these reports and graphs and things in the meeting is because I am supposed to go home and read these things. So they take it as that you're implying to them that they need to go do an assignment. And frankly, the reality is what they're quietly thinking to themselves is, you know, I thought I hired you so I didn't have to look at all this stuff. Can't you just tell me what I need to know and what I need to do? What needs to actually happen? What are the action items required in order to achieve my goals, you know, or remain on track to my goals, or get back on track to my goals and make smarter decisions about my financial affairs? And, you know, what do I actually need to do? What are you recommending that I do to be proactive so that, you know, I'm not missing any financial opportunities. I don't have any regrets about anything financial. And certainly there are no surprises. So they're looking for action items. And if you'll come in with your reports connected like this, then as you are presenting the meeting to them, yes, you're going to give them reports, but you're going to give them reports one at a time. So you're going to have all the reports next to you. And as you're ready to present something, it's far more skilled and more enjoyable to the client and a better client experience if you hand them one single report at a time and talk about whatever you're talking about. And then before you give them the next report, skillfully reach over, grab the report that you've just finished talking about, and take it slowly, and then replace it with the next one that you're going to talk about. So that the client never has, from a focus standpoint, never has more than one report in front of them at a time. And so they're listening to what you're saying, and if they're looking at anything, they're looking at just one thing that you've given them, and that one thing is only being given to them because it supports the conversation. Now, we're not going to get into it fully today, but you're not going to hand them something and then talk about it. You're going to say something to the client, something relevant, something important, something they need to hear, and then you're going to hand the report. Because why? Because the report supports the conversation. You're only handing them a report because it's usually a visual which backs up what you just told them. Now, what if a client wants to keep a report? Sometimes clients love the report. They go, wow, I love this. And so you reach over skillfully to take it, to replace it with the next report, and then they grab it and they're playing a little friendly game of tug of war with you. And of course, you let them have it. If they want to keep it, let them keep it. Let them keep what they want. But I think what's going to surprise you, because it surprises most advisors, is how few clients actually fight with you. They don't care. If you're going to take it back, they don't want it. You let them, you know, they're happy to give it back to you. If they want it, they'll ask for it, or they'll hang on to it and keep it. So that is what we recommend. So as unflattering or as unimpressive as it is, the single clip, or maybe a bigger version of this, is all we recommend in terms of bringing the documents and client prep packets into the client progress meeting. Well, that is it for this month's edition of the Advisor Pack Monthly Session. As always, we wish you all the best in implementing. I am looking, and I don't see any questions on the board, so I'm assuming everybody that attended got all their questions answered. And next month, just come prepared with your questions, and we'll be willing to give you live coaching or whatever you need to make forward progress.